Blog Talk Radio.
Gonna get ready.
What you gonna do?
The Lord is doing
what you're gonna do.
What you gonna do?
You better get your heart in order.
What you gonna do?
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 Tuned into Blog Talk Radio. Your program is the Old Ship of Zion. Your host is Overseer Janice Ford. I am so delighted to be able to come across these skyways and highways on today, bringing you the divine word of truth as I know it to be. Hope and pray that all was well in your family circle. Hope and pray that all continually to be well with you and yours. Hallelujah, we're coming at you with the Old Ship of Zion. And this program has been brought to you by Blog Talk Radio. And I just thank you for allowing me into your work area. Thank you for allowing me into your living room space. I thank you for allowing me to ride on down the dangerous highway and byway with the Old Ship of Zion on your podcast dial. I just want those of you that will, that are listening in on this morning, or this afternoon, whatever you want to call it, I want you to get your seat. I want you to get your chip and dip and whatever you want to sip. I want you to get your Bibles. I want you to get your iPads, your iPod. I want you to get your tablets, your computers, whatever digital devices that you have. And just read along and go along with me as I bring unto you the divine word of God. I want to take out this time to acknowledge the one that started it all. His name is Jesus. He's our soon coming Messiah. He's a native from Nazareth. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And I want to introduce him to some and present to others. He's the one that died out on Calvary Cross. Over 2,000 light years ago, for your sins and mine. We're going to acknowledge him and go down in prayer at this time. Father God, we come with a grateful heart on today, of your sovereignty and your love unmeasured. We thank you, O gracious Heavenly Father, for enabling us to gather together in unity, God. Hallelujah, once again around this spectrum, God. For God, we know that you have given each and every one of us an itinerary. Hallelujah. And you have given each and every one of us an assignment to carry out. Father God, we will continue with this assignment. We will continue in your will and in your way, God. We will continue, God, hallelujah, to mount up from the four winds of this earth, from the north, south, east, and west. We will continue, Lord, to gather together in unity till you crack those clouds one historical day, God. We will be telling the world about Jesus. By he suffered and he bled and he died out on Calvary Cross. And I'm asking you today, God, to anoint these lips, please. I want to be able, God, to bring a rhema word to those that may or may not know of you in the pardons of their iniquity. I'm asking you, Father God, to grace me, the servant, with words of encouragement, words of wisdom to those that are hurting deep down in the epitome of their souls. Father God, we'll be so mindful to give your name the glory, honor, and all the praise. These and other blessings we ask in your Son, Jesus' mighty, marvelous name. And we allow the church to say amen and amen. We're going to now go on into a program that's already in progression. And we'll go into our sermon on this evening. And our sermon entitled, I See God Amid the Struggle. I want to say that one more time. I see God amid struggle. You might say, Overseer, what you mean that you see God amidst the struggle? We know that everything that come across, that come in existence, it do not come across, every element do not come across unless it has God approval signed on it. So we know that everything that happens in our lives is according to God's will and to God's purpose. We're going to go to our first key scripture on this evening. And it reads this. I know my Redeemer is living. And when I say that I know and you say that you know and we say that we know, that means that we have no doubt in our hearts, in our minds. I know that I know that I know. My Redeemer lives. That scripture reading is coming out of Job 19 and 25. We're going to move on down to our second key scripture on this evening. And it reads this. Who opposes and exalted himself above all that is called God, or that is worship, so that he has God sitting in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. And we know that God is God alone. He don't need any brownie points. He don't need any amens in the amen corner. God is God all by himself. He don't need no help to be who he is. All he need is some followers. All he need is some willing and able bodies. That say, Lord, whatever you want me to do, I'll do. Wherever you want me to go, I'll go. He's needing some willing and able bodies. Hallelujah. And we know that struggle comes even to the upright. That including the hardworking family members, the good stewards, the servants of God. We know that no one can avoid completing the attack of Satan or adversities of life. When we lose children, when we lose our health and our friends and possessions, we often feel all alone. But we are not alone. Through the enemy attacks, we know that Job lost everything. He lost his children, his possessions, his health, social status, and his friends. But through it all, he kept alive an embryo of hope in his heart. He said these words, I know that my Redeemer lives. That scripture reading again, and you can write this down for your edification. It's coming again out of the law of Job 19 and 25. We know that hope sees possibilities of new life beyond the struggle. You might say, oh, see, Ward, I've lost my job. I've lost the position that I once held. I've lost all my currency in my bank account. My credit cards is as a zooming high. And I don't have any means to feed my family. But I'm here to encourage your heart on today that God is a provider. God is a miracle worker. God said these words. He said, never have I seen the righteous forsaken or my seeds begging for bread. So whatever you're going through, my brother, my sister, I want you to be encouraged on today. We know that we're having wars and rumors of wars and unrest here and there and everywhere. But I don't want you to be alarmed, because God is not impressed with what's going on, with what the devil and the enemy and the satanic force may seem like he's getting ahead of the game and feeling like that we are behind and we're losing. But when we move self out of the way and we put God in the way, we don't have to worry about anything, because we know that God is our protector. God is our wheel in the middle of a wheel. Hallelujah, Jesus. And we have a choice. We can either abort or we can nurture our problems. We know that Job chose the latter. When he claimed, yet in my flesh shall I see God. That's in verse 26. We know that hope does not deny the existence of struggles. We all have struggles. No one is above or beneath a struggle. I don't care how much money you got in the bank. I don't care how much prestige that you have. You will encounter struggle in this world, in this land, which we live, which we call planet Earth. You shall endure struggle. But I see God amidst my struggle. You got to know that you know that you know in the midst of your struggle that God is in his heavenly places and he don't sleep. He don't sleep at all. But he's watching over you and I, over the good and the bad. Hallelujah. We know that Job detained his torment to Bildad, and he voiced his feeling of abandonment and alienation, even by his own family and his friends. Even through his critic rebuked and ridiculed him, he did not lose hope in God. We know that Satan attacked all who dare to do the will of God. We know that his tactics are legions. He uses prejudice and stereotyping to steal your and minds and our freedom and our equality. He uses labels such as credit risk and, hallelujah, limited capacity to strip away our dignity, our self-worth, our credibility, and our salvation. He tries to break you and I as he tried to break Job. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. But we know that our current problem in our communities, we know that hope does not disappoint. We know that hope, hallelujah, that our omnipotent God empower you and I to hope. He is the God who liberated you and I from slavery and opened doors of education, employment, advancement as the people within American society. We have suffered, but God has placed within us the umbrella of hope that continue to grow within you and I as we struggle through our heart, be consumed within us. We know that we can say, like Job said, yet in my flesh shall I see God, whom I shall see for myself, and my eyes shall behold, and not another. Hallelujah, Jesus. Bless your holy name. We know that in this final messianic passage in Isaiah, that the prophet described how suffering and brokenness of the Lord's servants will lead to deliverance. Although this idea might seem difficult and to comprehend, it is nevertheless as it relevant today as it ever was. We know that the prophet exhorts us not to lose sight of the role that suffering plays in deliverance. Much of our present suffering as Christians prepare you and I for the realization of future promises. We know that Christ suffered. So if Christ suffered, you and I is going to suffer as well. Christ suffered to atone for yours and mine and our sins according to the law of Isaiah 53 and 7. We know that Jesus was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. We know that suffering silently, Christ ushered in a new concept. Hallelujah. Namely, that a seed would be planted that would burst forth and grow and produce a bountiful harvest because of not in spite of what in you and I might endure in this world, in this land, in this society. We know that his suffering bore fruit. It brought us peace with God. His resurrection brought you and I a harvest of hope, eternal life. We know that our response to suffering must reflect the response of the servant as the foreshadow, hallelujah, of Christ. By so doing, we confirm that our belief and commitment to the message that we have heard in this prophet's song from the Lord, that we hereby show our understanding that trouble don't last always. Trouble do not last forever. And that all things work together for the good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. That scripture is coming out of the law of Romans 8 and 28. Then we suffer. We no longer have to ask, why me, Lord? Instead, we are assured that through suffering, God will bring deliverance. He shall see of the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. That scripture reading is coming out of the law of Isaiah 53 and 11. Hallelujah, Jesus. And I know my time is winding down, so I'm going to try to come on in. We also know, and we're going to go back to our sermon on this morning. It says, I see God amidst struggle. I see God amidst struggle. What about you out there this morning? Can you see God amidst your struggle, amidst your circumstances, amidst your brokenness, amidst your loneliness, amidst whatever hardship that you are going through? Can you see God amidst your struggle? Hallelujah, Jesus. We know that temptation is an inescapable reality that has haunted every generation since Adam. However, we need not yield to temptation or to be captured by sin. We can have the victory. You and I can have the victory. But you might ask, Overseer, what, how can we have victory? What method should one use? As we look at 1 Corinthians, we find some meaningful answers. We can learn from others' mistakes that God's power is always available to you and I. We must abstain from evil. Certainly, these are great lessons that enable you and I to be victorious. We learn from mistakes made by others, like warning signs. They show you and I the danger in going the wrong way. And here Paul illustrates how the Hebrews were tempted, how they yielded, and how they were punished for doing so. You and I have the victory by, hallelujah, learning not to repeat their mistakes. Because God's divine power, we are able to win over evil. But to fully benefit from this great power and holy presence, we must be loyal to God. The Hebrews provoked God during their desert experience by doubting God's power that he provided adequately for them. They yielded to the temptations of suspicious, discontent, and grumbling. So Paul warned the Corinthians not to succumb to similar temptations. And like Corinthians, our society is infested with immoralities. The human suffering seemingly is out of control due to the evils that are practiced through absence. We are avoid much of the suffering that has plagued this generation. Just say no and refrain from those things that cause destruction to good health, to good family ties, to our communities, and peace and spiritual empowerment.
Just say no and resist, hallelujah, when circumstances by grumbling, despair, and decadence. Trust God and victory will come. The Christian's life must continually be a beacon light in a dark world of sin. So let us be challenged to brighten the corners where you and I live. Hallelujah, Jesus. Bless your holy name. Thank you, God. Hallelujah. We know that the first chapter of 2 Thessalonians reflects a situation where Christians were experiencing severe persecution. And that's what we are experiencing in our society today, right now, right here, at this present moment, at this time, at this minute, this second, this hour. Hallelujah. We are experiencing persecution for our stand for Christ. But God's word declared that those who lose their life for the sake of the gospel, for my sake, for the sake of Christ, shall find it. So that means that you have a first class seat up in heaven. If you lose your life for Christ, you will gain it in eternity. Just like you have an A class, a first class seat on the airline. You have a first class seat on the jet. You will have that same privilege in heaven. You will have a first class seat. Hallelujah. In the throne of God. Hallelujah. And we know that. Thank you, God. Hallelujah. We know that family and friends, they've had to fend for themselves in a world that views them as breakers of tradition and customs and threats to the law and orders, such as alienation. It produces despair. We know that in Thessalonians, Christians' despair brought on by loneliness and all-out distress. In fact, their situation brought on a spirit of hopelessness, and their faith and hope of victorious end to their suffering was rocked. But Paul sought to reconnect his community to the glorious destiny. God promised by means of a threefold strategy. First, he acknowledged the reality of the community suffering in 2 Thessalonians 1:4. Next, he reminded them that God will intervene to end their affliction. And I want you to know today that God will intervene. God is not taking a blinded eye on what's going on with the persecution of the Christian world today. Hallelujah. We know that God is going to intervene in due time to our affliction and punish those who persecuted us. Hallelujah. We know that he admonished them to stay on the right path. And I want you to stay on the right path on today so that you might not suffer the same plight of their torment. The Thessalonian situation was not unlike the present condition of many of our people. What does a community do when it is faced with hard times? Religious bigotry, racism and sexism, insults, systematic injustice, and persistent of prosecution simply because it is outside of society mainstream. We know that as saints of God, hallelujah, we can utilize Paul's threefold strategy. Acknowledging the reality of our suffering, recalling God's promise to you and I, and to us as holding fast to the path of righteousness. We can learn from these early Christians who exchanged their desire to live comfortably in the world for a radical faith in Jesus Christ by embracing the way of faith. Our victory over evil is sure. And our sermon on today has been, I see God amidst my struggle. I want you to know that I see God amidst my struggle. Do you see God amidst your struggle on today? I'm talking to you that's out there in my digital listening audience on today, you're going to have to grab hold to your real faith. And in your circumstances, tell that devil that I see God in the midst of my struggle. Hallelujah. That has been our sermon on today. I see God amidst my struggle. And in ending, I hope and I pray that I've said something to inject your spirit and impact your heart as I have brought unto you the divine word of truth. Hallelujah. And we're going to now change, hallelujah, the structure of this program. We're going to now bring you hymns of Zion to lift your spirit and encourage your heart. Hallelujah. If this program has been a blessing unto you, hallelujah, I would encourage you to send your prayer petitions to the old ship of Zion. Hallelujah. If you have any prayer that you would want the old ship of Zion to go down and pray on your behalf, you'll encourage the senior correspondents of God House of Deliverance, Pentecostal Digital Worldwide Ministry. This station, again, has been brought to you by Blog Talk Radio. Your program has been the old ship of Zion. So your correspondents, make them attentive to Overseer Janice Ward, P.O. Box 1600, Gilroy, California, 95020. Till we meet again, you encourage to go in God and allow God to go in you. We're going to now take this service over into the hymns of Zion. Be blessed till we meet again. You go in God and allow God to go in you.
Thank you. Jesus. I'm running out. Thank you. hard to increase my faith, but it feels like it's way too late. The preacher said it's already done. If I believe in Jesus the Son, I've got a feeling that it might be right. I'm in the tunnel, but I see the light. I can't repeat this cycle again.
Repeat the cycle again. Oh.